I posted that marketing ops isn't marketing. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? It was really, really fascinating to see people vacillate between you're absolutely crazy. Literally, the word marketing is in the name, marketing ops, and then turn around a week or two later and go, actually, maybe it isn't marketing.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan Gandolf, today's host, co-founder, and CEO of Audience Plus. I'm thrilled to be joined by one of my favorite marketers today, CEO and founder of Marketing Ops, Mike Rizzo. We're going to talk about all things Marketing Ops today. I had to check before we hit record here on a few of these topics, make sure they're not cliche, but it does really feel like Marketing Ops is having a moment here with all things AI, all things doing more with less, and maybe the person in the community leading the charge on that, at least in the B2B tech space here, is marketingops.com. I would encourage everybody to check it out. We'll get into all of that. Mike, before we do that, though, feel free, just tell me a little bit about your background and a little bit about what you're up to at marketingops.com.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate connecting with you as always. But yeah, in terms of what are we working on? Oh, gosh, we're working on all kinds of things. But the direction and sort of purpose of our community, at the end of the day, that's what we are. We're a community of practitioners that are either current practitioners in marketing ops or, sort of marketing technology roles, or those that are aspiring to be in a marketing ops and marketing technology role. We are on a path to building what I hope will be seen as the certification and really what it truly means to be a professional in marketing operations and the value, the strategic value, frankly, that we provide to organizations who are looking to deliver on go-to-market and the various capabilities that are out there. And so that's the path that we're charting. To get there, we're just, I think you might remember probably the listen and viewers of the show, community-led was a big buzzword for a while, right? And we really mean it at marketingops.com. everything that we do, Mopsapalooza, the conference, Spring Fling, which had recently just happened, our webinars, like literally almost all of it has been because somebody or many somebodies asked us to try to do it. And so we're just in charge of herding the cats, so to speak, and trying to make sense of it all. And ultimately provide value back to our members and the broader like ecosystem that we all serve.
I love that. And Mike, is your background marketing ops? Did you grow up in this space and feel like there was this gap of kind of community amongst the marketing ops profession, or how did you land here?
Yeah, it's a good question. None of this was planned is the short answer. I won't pretend like I didn't feel the pain of this as a practitioner, but it was born out of me being a team of one in marketing operations. I was a demand gen, marketing op, field events sort of marketer that was getting us to and from our conferences, appending data, doing new integrations, you name it, the traditional multi-hat startup marketer. And I fell in love with the tech side of it, database orientation and object orientation and enrichment and you name it. I really loved that side of the technology and found out it was called marketing ops. And then eventually was like trying to find more people, couldn't find anybody. And every time I talked to somebody in my organization about, hey, like, here's the thing I'm dealing with, they'd sort of like, their eyes would glaze over. Right? I don't know what you're talking about. And so I started, I wrote a Medium blog post that just said like, hey, there's this thing called Slack. And this is like circa 2017. And if anybody wants to hang out with me and like talk shop, I don't care what tools you use, like would love to. And by 2019, we started to grow really fast. And we grew about 110 members a month from 2019 up until just recently. And it really hasn't slowed down, frankly. It's just the model and the things have changed. And yeah, I was totally born out of a very selfish desire to not feel so alone.
Nothing wrong around that. Great invention comes out of necessity, right? And hey, you found your people. You've got a community of them. And now you're on a podcast with a bunch of marketing nerds who We're all going to geek out. Our eyes won't glaze over, our ears won't glaze over for this episode. So excited to dig in to all of it. Before we do that, though, it is the Content Cocktail Hour. Mike, we always ask all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
At the moment, I am enjoying actually being able to enjoy a bourbon again every once in a while. I went through, not that I'm an advocate for alcohol or anything like that, but I went through a journey of doing a little bit of a health shift. And I don't know, for those of you that have never seen me before, I'm down about 20 pounds right now and I'm super happy about it, but it was a new journey I've been going on. And so there's no room in the diet for bourbon when you're on a cut. I'm excited. I'm at maintenance calories and I get to have a few bourbons occasionally.
So. There you go. There's a lesson in there. I think liquid calories always bad, and count your calories. And that's funny how that works. I'm a big bourbon fan myself. For those watching, there's actually a bourbon barrel here back in the background.
Oh, that's rad.
From a career in the past, spent some time adjacent to that industry. So same thing. I kind of went through, you know, there was probably a time when there was too much being enjoyed, but time and place. I can actually sit down, relax, and enjoy it a bit more.
Sometimes building things, you know, you just want to take a little break.
Yes, that's for sure. We'll save that conversation for another episode. Today's episode, all about marketing ops. So I'm going to tee up a little bit of kind of like my perspective on this space, and feel free to push back on it or disagree with it, or of course agree with it. I would love that. But so marketing ops feels like it's having maybe a bit of a moment. It feels like there's maybe two contrasting things happening in the space, and marketing ops kind of sits at the middle of it. One is the classic do more with less, right? Marketing budgets are shrinking, marketing tool stacks, tech stacks are shrinking, teams shrinking, just all the resourcing around marketing being decreased. At the same time, all these AI capabilities are increasing, right? Different tools are being launched every day. There's more you can do with AI tools. A lot of the like tech generative AI use cases are built for marketers. And so there's this like contraction happening in marketing, and also this expansion of what's possible. And it feels like sitting right at the core of that is marketing ops trying to make sense of it all. Is that a fair kind of perspective of what's going on in the space?
Yeah, I think it is a fair perspective. It makes sense when, you know, this like just sort of scratching at this do more with less thing that was definitely buzzing around in the last year and a half or so. I mean, arguably still now, but I don't think people are pushing that message and mantra as quite as much as they were. That is a symptom of the capabilities that are being unlocked, certainly by AI, but it's also a symptom of the fact that people are recognizing that there has been sort of bloat and it's really feature bloat and it's capability bloat, right? Like when you have tools that service the same needs just in slightly different flavors, you do end up inevitably in a place where you do need to make a decision on, okay, which of these is really servicing our organizational go-to-market needs? The unfortunate part of where we're at right now on this do more with less and the budget shrinking and the tech stack shrinking is that it's actually coming from the budget side. Or flipped, I'd be very excited because that would mean that marketing operations professionals who are very well equipped to help an organization go to market and they're told that we don't have enough money to do something and we just have to start cutting things. And you start to run into all kinds of issues around, you know, we've lost capabilities that we didn't even know we had before, or we didn't realize we were trying to use those for those reasons. And there's a lack of alignment in the model for achieving the objectives and key results for the business in the go-to-market tech stack, right? And so I think marketing ops is sitting at this really interesting place of trying to make sense of AI on the tech stack and all of those things. But they're also at this interesting intersection of it's time for you to sort of, what's the term? Like grab the bull by the horns. It is a great opportunity for you to lead the charge on adopting the go-to-market tech stack and driving the implementation and potential of all the new capabilities that are being unlocked through AI, and step in as the owner, which I think is actually kind of exciting. Like it feels a little chaotic for sure, but I think it's a really, really good opportunity and a good space to be in right now.
I love the like optimistic kind of outlook on that. And like, yeah, this is like, it's a bit chaotic, but with chaos also comes opportunity. You mentioned something there, I think it, before even talking about grabbing the bull by the horns, but like the marketing ops person being told what to do. I've seen it in organizations where like the marketing ops person is like, they're being told to integrate HubSpot with this and that. And it's like, they're almost like an order taker versus what you're explaining of like grabbing the bull by the horns. How does somebody who's, maybe they are literally the marketing ops title and role versus I think a lot of times it's the demand gen marketer, it's the marketing analytics person that is the pseudo marketing ops kind of person on the team. How can somebody who's sitting in that role, whether literally defined or not, shift from being that, being told what to do versus grabbing the bull by the horns like you mentioned?
First, when I'm asked this question, and you can imagine like it comes up fairly regularly, right? The thing that I like to share is it takes time, right? Like I don't expect, like if you're in your first year or two of work, first of all, don't put that kind of pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
It's just not a good idea. Absorb the knowledge, like enjoy the journey and learn the things.
Yeah. Join a community.
Yeah. Do whatever you need to do to like go absorb and learn and grow and elevate your career in the ways that you should be doing throughout your whole career, frankly, but definitely at the earlier parts. And then as you do get that sort of experience underneath your belt, it really just boils down to identifying the, I guess, like translating the needs of the business to sort of the capabilities and the art of the possible. So like when you understand the language of the business, the motion of the business, and you act as a steward to effectively say, hey, this is what I heard from you. There's sales playbooks that teach you how to do this, right? You like echo back what the person just said to you to like make sure you got it right. Kind of the same thing.
It's internal sales.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. There's so many people that are like, internal customers is a bad way to think about it. I'm like, okay, I don't care what you call it. Just like make sure alignment is happening. I was like trying to avoid saying the darn word, but anyway, alignment's the word. And really like play back what you're hearing, right? And then be a good steward toward that goal. If the goal is, just by way of example, we're going to implement a new ABM strategy for our go-to-market motion, because we want to be able to sell to the, you know, mid-market, upper mid-market companies that have X number of employees, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Any time then that you are asked to do something, you are now a steward of that goal and that objective to say, hey, I hear you. You want me to go do this thing, right? Maybe it's send an email. Maybe it's implement a new tracking code on the website, whatever. I want to make sure that this is somehow tied to one of the objectives that we all identified as important for this quarter, this year, et cetera. And as long as you act as that sort of like clarification, that clarifying role, you will start to command that leadership and respect for, hey, I want to make sure I'm doing what the business needs and what we all agreed we said was important. Because if not, I have to push these other things off and now we're not hitting our objectives. And that's your sort of first foray into grabbing the bull by the horns and leading a strategic sort of alignment of marketing operations to the broader go-to-market motion.
Yeah, I love that. It's a combination of like patience and being proactive when the opportunity presents itself. I think that's really good. And I think regardless of marketing ops or really any role, any discipline, that's probably pretty good advice for people navigating.
Yeah, yeah, it does. I often think that myself, where I'm like, that feels like a really like almost like a cop out like answer to be able to say it that way. But like the reality is, like to your point, Jonathan, like it's a fundamental, mm-hmm. right? Like good leaders make sure that there's alignment and some level of buy-in. Like it's okay that not everybody agrees, right? But at least the majority are like saying, yes, this is what we're supposed to do. And if you're a steward of that type of leadership, you then move into, okay, now how do I deliver on the thing that we're trying to do through technology, which is the area that you're uniquely equipped to service, right? As a marketing ops professional, it's like, okay, cool. I understand our go-to-market motion. I understand the products and services we sell. I now know what my various stakeholders need to be able to feel like they're having success in their roles. and I have either this big empty hole that I need to fill with capabilities, or I have all these tools and I need to figure out which of the capabilities I need to deploy in order to enable that, right? But if they ask me to do something that falls outside of one of those objectives, I need to echo back, this is going to cause a change in my roadmap, right? And that's how you shift out of being an order taker. it's like saying no without saying no.
Yeah, love that. You mentioned something earlier that maybe I'm going to over-index on, but you call it the go-to-market tech stack. You didn't say, as you were talking about marketing ops, you didn't say the CRM, you didn't say the marketing op or the marketing automation platform. You holistically kind of bundle, maybe intentional or non-intentional, but in the age of AI, you got to say alignment. So I get to say age of AI. You know, there's like this, it's like incredibly how quick different tools can be adopted and used by different individuals or parts of the team. Where does marketing ops sit in that go-to-market tech stack and kind of managing that versus just being the CRM person or just being the automation person? Feels like their spans of what maybe falls under that go-to-market tech stack umbrella is expanding.
Yeah, I hope it's expanding for a number of reasons. I'll touch on a conversation I just had yesterday, in fact, with someone who leads a cohort, an educational cohort program to teach people how to do like go-to-market engineering and just like, you know, trying to show people how to leverage AI. Great initiative. People are, you know, learning this stuff is hard. Taking the time to do so is certainly even more difficult. And one of the things that individual asked me was, you know, it feels like, you know, like a company like Clay, for example, is making a lot of noise in the space and like really has a good share of voice. It's not necessarily noise, but it's a good share of voice. It feels like it's like really heavily aligned to sales, right? Like, oh, like the sales SDRs and like all of them, like, aren't they kind of just the ones running with it? And I was like, well, yeah, they are, but isn't this the same problem that we faced before, right? And sort of going back to, you know, his question for me was like, where does marketing ops fit in this? And like, are they truly being asked to try to figure this stuff out? Or do they not have the interest? Are they just being asked to do other things? Like their backlog of tickets is too large. And I said, well, they are, but it's because people are sort of operating around the same set of expectations. We've all been here before. Like, marketing automation came about 15 plus years ago, 20 years ago, right? And at that time, it was like this magic, like, language. Everybody's like, oh, I could just flip the switch and leads will flow. And ironically, like, we're seeing the exact same thing. We're just learning faster what works and doesn't work than we ever have before because the tools are that much easier to interact with. Like, you didn't have to go become an expert in a platform to go try these things. It's faster to try out. And so what I think is sort of like, I guess I'm forever the optimist on this stuff, is the opportunity is to say, hey, if your executives or your board members are tasked with, or rather asked, hey, who's in charge of your go-to-market tech stack? Who's responsible for building the tech stack of the future? I don't think they have an answer for that from a leadership perspective today. And we've been trying to solve this problem for forever, right? RevOps was created. It's really SalesOps 2.0. We keep trying to put like me and all the RevOps co-op people, like all those folks, we're all pushing the right agenda. Like it should not be RevOps, SalesOps 2.0, et cetera. But somebody needs to be in charge of ensuring that the capabilities of our technology ecosystem deliver on the needs of our unique business model. One of the questions that comes up is like, is AI going to replace MOPS in some way? Like we've seen it sort of replace in some capabilities, like some types of jobs. And I think the answer is no. And I think the reason is that it's really about, there's no wrong answer in go-to-market. You're going to hedge your bet and say, hey, we think that an ABM approach is really good for us at this stage of our business. And so we're going to go build out an ABM motion. Whether we buy a tool or we do it on our sort of own volition is a decision that we'll make. I could have equally have said at this stage of our business, investing heavily in paid is a good idea. like, there's all kinds of things that you could try. AI is not going to just like make that decision for you, because there isn't a, if business was that easy to rinse and repeat, like, we wouldn't, none of us would be here, right? Like, we would just like all go grow businesses. And so, like, I think the opportunity is that marketing ops and, frankly, like, organizations in general, leadership needs to turn and say, don't allow someone to just go acquire tools again and start using features and deploy these things, because I can guarantee that if your sales leader is adopting Clay and they're not going to leverage the other signals that other products can bring into that ecosystem to have an even better experience for their customer journey, it's just going to create a bunch of chaos again. So it's like, put somebody in charge. Like, align these things.
I like the comparison you draw to like the marketing automation kind of evolution or revolution we went through. This is probably about a year ago. I had a one of my favorite marketers, mentors from early in my career, on the podcast. And there's some throwaway line like, things are changing faster than ever with AI. And he's like, no, like, he's like, I was around when the internet became a thing for marketers. He's like, this is just the newest like change that we're all going through. He's like, you know, and I think you like, it's the ability to learn and like continue to evolve with all this that'll separate the cream of the crop, right? Like, we're such like prisoners of the moment. Oh, it's never changed this fast before. It's like, it changes this fast every 3 or 4 years, right? We all figured out how to be virtual overnight, basically. Like, we're all going to figure this out too. But I think the ability to learn and like kind of grab the bull by the horns, to go back to what you said earlier for the marketing ops person, is really unique right now. And I'm not just blowing smoke here. I think plugging into communities like marketing ops will help somebody have not only know what's going on in their organization, what's working in their organization, but know what's working with their peers throughout the space as well. I think communities are really important for that ongoing ability to learn right now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I know everybody watching, listening, et cetera. Like, yes, I'm the CEO of a community, and yeah, I'm going to be a little bit biased on this, but like, I got to tell you, the ability to understand what's happening underneath the water, right? Like, that duck looks real calm, but it's kicking and kicking. That only happens in private conversations in communities, right? Like, they're not going to give you trade secrets. At least I hope they're not. but they are going to talk about, oh, you know, here's sort of this challenge we faced while we were adopting this technology in service of this go-to-market motion, right? And you might want to avoid that or what have you. And just that ability to sort of lift the veil a little bit and uncover what these people are doing, it really only happens in those spaces. So whether that's our community or a different one, I encourage you to go find your tribe, because like, that's the kind of stuff that you get out of it. Like, beyond that, you get to meet other great people and build a career, which is built on relationships. So that's also a win too.
The LinkedIn feed is the ducks on top of the water, I feel like. And the communities are the ducks beneath the water figuring it all out.
Oh yeah, that's such a good analogy. Like, I see so many great, like, you know, here's the like 10 things that I did and I learned. And like, some of them are getting pretty good at like going a couple layers down and like showing you the art of the possible, but you know that they went through like all kinds of trials and tribulations to actually get there.
Love that. Well, Mike, appreciate all the insight. We always ask all of our guests, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
I did this last year. I'm going to just stick with it. I posted that marketing ops isn't marketing. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? it was really, really fascinating to see people vacillate between, you're absolutely crazy, it literally, the word marketing is in the name, marketing ops, and then turn around, you know, a week or two later and go, actually, maybe it isn't marketing. And so that's kind of my spicy take. I will say that I did round it out at Mopsapalooza, our conference last year. And I did explain that marketing ops isn't just marketing.
Good
save. It is about so much more than that. But I did not intentionally do that. It really was. It came from a place of like, marketing ops is beyond what we would think of as the four P's in traditional marketing. And I think people need to try to start thinking about it in a different way.
Yeah, so in that extreme scenario, and sorry, I maybe missed this from a year ago, but in that extreme scenario of it not being marketing, is it an ops role? Is it a sales role? Is it its own kind of function at that point? If it's not marketing, what is it?
For lack of a better way to describe it, in my opinion, I've sort of landed on it's a product function.
Fascinating.
You know, we talked earlier about like the go-to-market tech stack. Really, that's a product. And go-to-market is a product. And it's just made up of lots of different sort of variables. As a marketing operations professional, your job is to figure out, manage, and maintain an incredible product. And that product and those responsibilities are, first and foremost, you are a steward of safe, brand-compliant motions. You have to literally be in charge of making sure you're not spamming the world and that all of those things are being enabled by technology. Secondly, you have a lot of stakeholders. You've got sales, you've got customer success in some cases, you've got certainly the marketing team itself, and they all have different needs, they all have different technologies they're using, and you need to figure out how to optimally deploy those in service of the go-to-market motion that they've decided that they want to place their bets on. And then I would say the last sort of thing is that you need to figure out how to understand financial ROI, right? Like your job is to like make sure we're deploying these things in the most effective and efficient way possible. And so therefore, when you're building your sort of feature roadmap or your backlog of capabilities that you want to deploy to enable the business, you want to have a really strong tie back to, well, how did that help, right? And not everything is going to be a one-to-one win in terms of this thing we did generated X dollars. But it's important to understand how the business recognizes revenue and how it makes money so that you can be a good steward of deploying the product that is effectively the go-to-market tech stack. So I think of it as a product function. And I think if people start thinking of it that way, it would be maybe a little less directly tied to the great debate about, you know, attribution and does HubSpot or Marketo or whatever generate ROI and all this other stuff. Like the answer is yes and no.
Yeah, right.
All at the same time.
Yeah, it goes back to saying what you said earlier. There's no right or wrong way to do go-to-market. If we had all the answers, we'd all be doing the exact same thing. And that's not the case. So I like that. That's a really strong opinion and a really strong perspective. And has my wheels spinning a little bit. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Of course. If people want to learn more from you or learn more about the marketing ops community or the events, what's the best way to do that?
There's a couple places. For me in particular, I am Mike D, as in David Rizzo. That's my handle on LinkedIn. So /in/ Mike D Rizzo. You can follow me or connect. If you're not a salesperson, you can connect. Beyond that, we have our website, marketingops.com. Come hang out, learn, listen, join the community if you want. We would love to have you. And then join us at Mopsapalooza, which is a mouthful but a fun word to say and has its own website as well. All one word, Mopsapalooza, you know, all that stuff. Mopsapalooza.
We'll get all of the links in the show notes so nobody has to worry about sounding it out and spelling it.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. I was like, let me spell my own word.
It's like the spelling bee. There's like a ding if you get it wrong. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode. Until next time, same place. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.